Chapter 15. Why Ask Why?
Not long ago, my wife and I purchased a new home, our first home. We loved it. It had everything that was important to us. A beautiful view, plenty of sunlight, a safe neighborhood, good schools nearby, all the things that were really important to us. And after about 2 years in our wonderful new home, we began to notice some cracks in the foundation walls in the basement. And we didn't have a clue if it was something we should be worried about or not. So we talked to some people we knew, and they all told us that, you know, every home settles a little bit, that small cracks in the foundation are fairly normal. As first-time homebuyers, how would we know? So thinking it was probably no big deal, I ran down to the Home Depot, purchased some concrete patching stuff, went home, slapped it over the cracks, and hoped that would be the end of it. Well, in this case, as in business, hope was not a method. I ran into a friend later who actually knew something about this stuff, who had way more experience than I did, not too tough to beat that, and told us our problem was not normal. Soon we noticed more serious things, doors not shutting, cracks in the upstairs walls, leaking windows, loud pops from the house settling, the deck floor in our backyard sinking, just to name a few. Everything in our house was slowly becoming indoor-outdoor. Meanwhile, the impact of this started to sink in. Our lives were being disrupted. Our home had lost all market value, had become unsellable, and the potential financial result could bankrupt us. At that point, we had enough evidence to cause real concern, and the magnitude of the impact forced us to become intensely interested in the why. So we called an expert, often important when you're digging for the why, and kept asking why through research, testing, and getting evidence. Now, after asking enough whys, we discovered that our house was built on an old ravine with scrap-ridden, uncompacted dirt. Lucky us! That was the cause of the house taking its own personal journey toward the center of the earth, the why. Evidence, like the self-growing sunroof in our kitchen, told us something bad was happening, the effects. The impact motivated us to move with urgency, and asking why eventually told me what was causing the bad stuff to happen. Now, if we hadn't done a little more research to find the cause, it would have been major league guessing to figure out what to fix or who to sue, I mean, involve, based solely on just the effects. Now, when it's a physical thing, like fixing a house, the why or the cause is not usually too hard to find. Expensive, yeah, but not that hard. Now, in business, the process plays out pretty much the same way and has the same goal, to find the real cause of the problem before you start building a solution. The art form of digging for the why becomes a little more sophisticated here in business because it's not exactly a physical thing like a sinking house. It may be a sinking business or a sinking project, but it's not always that easy to see. Not everyone can stand around just kind of staring at it and see it in plain sight. And that complexity is the reason we suggest that you spend time digging for the why only after you have the evidence and the impact to prove it's worth a solution, and that the effects make it a little easier to see before you spend time, people, and money actually solving. If you miss the why, you may also select and apply the wrong solution, or that the solution may actually cause other problems. You could create expectations that the problem will go away, and then it doesn't. And you could waste the investment of time, people, and money that the real solution deserved but didn't get. See, simply knowing that you need to ask the question why doesn't make it easy. Intellectually, it seems fairly simple and straightforward. But in real-time application, it's often emotionally or psychologically hard to commit to that and follow through on it. When you dig for the why, you're asking people to share their beliefs, opinions, observations, or viewpoints. And they may share that information based on data. They may have customer input or research, surveys, whatever. They may have nothing more than their opinion. And then sometimes flawed thinking is exposed. Because asking the why often penetrates to the very heart of an issue, it can come across to others as a posse who's in search of the guilty party. And those people start to feel like the guys on the wanted poster. They don't want to get lynched, so it's hard for them to open up. For some people, especially those with ego, they assume that they already know the answer. So why waste more time talking about the why? They don't want to be questioned about their thinking. They can feel that you're insulting their intelligence, or that they're not competent to make the decision, and they feel like it's a personal assault. So since the pursuit of finding the cause, or the why, can make people feel defensive, and therefore make you look offensive, you'll need to check your ego and have an intent that will get the information you really need without making people feel that they are being hunted down and attacked. Your intent is not to hunt down the guilty party, but to invest the time it takes to understand why something is happening. What's the cause? And you personally have the responsibility to make it comfortable and helpful to ask the question, why? So Dave's now going to walk us through an example of getting to the why and how you can do it. Before he does, let me just lay out one quick thing. Here's our disclaimer. The intent of this rule of finding the cause, digging for the why, is to make sure that everyone is aware of and understands the need to find out why before they start putting solutions into place. It's not a complete comprehensive dissertation in root cause analysis. There are big fat books you can read, college degrees you can get in that stuff. Or go get an expert who knows how to really read the fine print when it comes to root cause analysis. With what you already know about the tools of business think, you can do a lot of it yourself if you want to get started. Again, what we're sharing here is important, and it's fairly simple and basic, but far from thorough.
I'd like to share a simple story that illustrates the power and the need for digging for why. And as I share the story, I want you to be thinking about this quote from Henry David Thoreau. This is the quote: "For every 1,000 hacking at the leaves of evil, there is one hacking at the root." The intent of what we're trying to show here is how can you get to the root? So here's the story. Years ago at the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., the U.S. Department of Parks and Recreation had a big problem. It turns out that the stones on the Jefferson Memorial were deteriorating pretty badly, and it was giving the maintenance people fits. To make matters worse, some of the tourists that were coming through started to complain that it appeared the memorial was in disrepair and was being neglected. Now, if you were business thinking and you put together a list of issues, you know, the list of issues might look something like this. Well, the memorial stone is deteriorating, tourists are complaining, maintenance workers are spending way too much time cleaning, so the image of the monument isn't up to standards, and costs are up for just the cleaning supplies and the materials. Now, imagine you're the director of the Parks Department. You're under pressure. You have to fix this national treasure, and you better do it pretty quickly. Something has to be done because this is pretty high visibility in Washington, D.C. So you might quickly try to adopt some solution. And by the way, the solution might seem obvious. Well, just replace the stones. I mean, after all, the monument was built in 1943. It's about time to refurbish it anyway. But when you ask, why are the stones deteriorating, you discover, well, it's probably because the grounds crew has to clean the stones more frequently than normal. Well, once you find out that that's going on, there's a whole number of solutions you could slap into place. Maybe you could start using less abrasive cleaner or less harsh chemicals in the cleaning solutions themselves. Another solution you could get into place would be to replace the stones so that less cleaning is needed. Or you could just live with it and explain to tourists that, hey, it's just an old building. What do you expect? It was built in 1943. But you have other monuments that have the same stone, and those monuments don't seem to be deteriorating or in need of the same level of cleaning. So you ask, why again? Why are we cleaning the Jefferson Memorial all the time? The answer? The pigeons frequently come visit the stones on the memorial, and they're leaving too many calling cards. Ah, well, just eliminate the pigeons, right? Or you could ask, why again? Well, why all the pigeons? Maybe the answer is, well, they feed on the heavy spider population. All right, now this is where you might be tempted once again to start slapping solutions into place. You might be asking yourself, man, why am I paying these people? Can't they just solve this problem? I mean, it seems like you've hit the duh factor. Just go get some bug spray and get rid of the spiders. If you get rid of the spiders, you get rid of the birds. If you get rid of the birds, hey, the bird droppings are gone. And if the droppings are gone, you don't have to clean this thing so frequently. Voila, the problem is solved. So the solution could be fast, immediate, and unfortunately, it would only be temporary and premature. One more why question. Why are there so many spiders? Well, the spiders are attracted by the huge moth population. Now, again, a number of solutions seem obvious. Insecticide could wipe out the moths and the spiders. The downside to this solution, though, is that maybe the chemicals would also damage the stones even more. And besides, who wants the smell of all those chemicals? Couldn't that affect the tourists somehow and maybe their complaints? Or what would be the risks to the maintenance workers who have to do the cleaning? It would be easy to just say, well, we'll just have to live with those downsides. I guess the question is, if you get rid of all the insects, the problem is solved, right? Wrong. One more why. Why all the moths? Well, it turns out the moths are attracted by the monument's lights during their twilight swarming period. Now, at this point, it's probably likely you've discovered the cause. You could ask why one more time. Well, why are the moths attracted to lights? Who knows? It's in their DNA. You just know they're attracted to the lights, and that's causing a chain reaction of events. So once you've hit the root cause, the why, the mother lode, now start thinking about options and play them out. So what's the solution? Turn on the lights 2 hours later. If you get rid of the early lights, you get rid of most of the moths. If there aren't moths, no spiders. Get rid of the spiders, wave bye-bye to the pigeons. Eliminate the pigeons, and you save the stones from becoming the pigeons' personal restroom. And not only that, you save money on the light bill and all the premature solutions that you could have applied, and their costs in time and money have been avoided, and they haven't caused other problems. See, asking why took time, but the solution that you were able to pick as a result of asking why increases the likelihood that you will be addressing the real problem and the causes of that problem. Now, along the line, had any other solution been chosen, it would have fixed something. Or maybe it would have just masked it, and it could have created other problems that would require more time and money to solve. So in the Jefferson Memorial case, they had evidence. They'd done their business thinking. They knew what the impact was, and they had enough reason to find a solution. And without asking the why, any solution they would have applied would have been more than likely premature, and it may have caused more problems. So real quickly, let me summarize how we go through the why. Imagine you have your business think case in front of you. And the most important issue happened to be the fact that the stones were deteriorating. Now you use the same process. You start to make a list of all of the issues at each level of the why. So here we go. When you originally moved off the solution, you made the list of issues and were taking the stones on the monument are deteriorating. So starting from that point, you make this list, a why list of all the things that contribute to causing the stones to deteriorate, and you'll get a whole list of issues. Now take the most important cause from that list that you just created and make another list of all the whys for that particular issue. And you keep going until you hit the most important why on your list of issues. Now, in our experience, it usually takes 3 to 5 times of asking why to identify the cause. Here's a last hint. As you pursue the why and look for the root cause, you'll need persistence to keep asking why. And do it with the right intent, and do it until you and others are confident you've identified the real cause. As you search for the why, make sure that it's preceded by good, justified business thinking. Otherwise, any additional discussion simply doesn't make sense and will be a waste of company's valuable resources. Now, once you've identified the real cause, you can start formulating solutions, and you'll have options. And regardless of which option you choose, your next step will be to find the time, people, and money that are required to make that solution happen successfully. At least now, moving forward, you have a solid business case. You have economic justification, and you know the cause of the problem, and you've identified a solution that would address the cause rather than prematurely applying solutions that would only address symptoms. And by the way, one last note, get your company to pay attention, because the only way they pay attention is by allocating time, people, and money. But now you have all the tools to go get those resources and to move forward towards successfully solving a problem. All right, one last time. Let's hold up the business think mirror. This is the mirror test on why. Question number one. When digging for the why or seeking the cause, I make sure that people understand I'm not searching for a guilty party. And question number two, before even discussing a solution and considering solution options, I make sure we've built a solid business case based on evidence and impact, and I make sure we understand the real cause of those problems.